This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me. You're not gonna do nothing, you are not above me. I bet you wish you was me, I know that I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends. And today we're coming at you with a little special, a little guapo exclusive Eclipse photo.
This is true. Before I get to my photo, I actually found these at Goodwill. They're like special glasses to like really capture the essence of
this. This is a picture of your butthole.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of setup here.
I downvote if picture.
That's better.
That's amazing.
That's a tortilla and an avocado.
That's it.
That's the Eclipse Berkey.
Okay.
What's poppin', psychic? How you feeling today?
Boodog in the house. Catch up with her on how she's been since the boat. How have you been since? All right. We are joined by Nikki Limo.
Hey, I'm the filler Boodog.
We had to get our token woman here. Thank you.
Yes, yep.
Thank you for being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like half an ethnicity too.
Yeah, so
like
that's true. Token Asian, okay. As well.
While you're at it, could you have that mic violate you a little more?
Oh God.
Not hearing you all that.
Does that sound good?
Much, much better.
Ooh.
Excellent work. Excellent. What do you guys want to talk about today? Pirates?
Yeah, Buccos. No, not really. They blew it in the ninth.
They just
today.
Lost the game in the ninth inning, and it's
they
all
won yesterday.
Over.
They're still 9-3.
I mean, it's good. All over for the rest of the year. That's all it takes. One
listen,
night,
the only thing I'll say about the Pirates is they're good. Okay, move on.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Well, I think so. I think they're good. Yeah.
They're a Pittsburgh team. That's what they are. They're a Pittsburgh team.
That's what they will be.
They win and lose in the last minute of every single game, and at the end of the year. Probably won't bode well for us.
No,
look how beautiful that lighting is.
Which one? Mine?
Yeah.
You mean the blown out poster?
Yeah, look at
looks
that.
Looks great.
Look at the dual colors going on.
Mm-hmm. Blue and pink.
I'm not. What do you guys think? Are you guys a fan of the poster just getting obliterated by this purple light?
It looks lit up. Like he's, like you're the back of your head's like you're a Showtime, you know?
That's better.
Showtime.
That's definitely better. That's
okay, that's fine. I agree on that.
Yeah, that's a lot better. Okay, we've compromised. That's a good start to today. It's important that we lead with compromise because we have quite the hot button issue today.
Yes, and.
And it's one of those ones where, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and I thought to myself, why do you do this? Why put yourself in a position to be criticized? Why alienate both sides of the aisle?
Because you just can't help yourself.
True.
You know, it's not that.
Well,
I could certainly help myself. I weighed in zero on Twitter with good reason. This isn't my fight.
Wow, you laid off Twitter? That's crazy.
Look, when people say things that are mathematically wrong, I'm going to chime in.
That's your department.
Yes.
Yeah.
When people are arguing about the importance of growth of women's contribution in poker and what the best path forward for that is, I'm happy to sit that one out. I'm happy to support. I'm happy to be on board for whatever the collective believes to be true. But I, by no stretch of the imagination, think that I have a solution to such a deeply nuanced problem.
I mean, we could skip it and talk about the abortion ban in Arizona.
Oh my God. Go for it, Brian.
Based fucking tortoise.
Seems like it might go hand in hand.
Just saying. Pick your poison.
But like with that said, I realize that you don't make friends by saying nothing either. Like
right.
there's this weird duality that exists where if you have a platform and you're somebody who has a voice in a community, specifically if you're a privileged person with a platform and has a voice, i.e. a white guy, and you don't use it to speak on these sort of nuanced issues, then you're an asshole. But if you do use it to speak on these nuanced issues and you don't agree with the right people,
you better get it right.
You're also an asshole.
The thin line we're walking here, Burke.
And I've thought about this particular topic a lot. I've spoken to a lot of people on both sides.
You had to look at a lot of material.
Right.
This
a lot of covers.
A lot of material.
Went back decades on the Sports Illustrated covers.
Oh, a lot of research on this.
A lot of research was done. Okay. A lot of research was done.
You prepared for this when you were younger.
That's one. Right.
Yeah.
You know, as a man who was born in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition era, I get it. As best I can get it, I get it. And you know, I had like contentious conversations literally on both sides. And I understand that like my opinion just does not matter very much in this. And the best that we can do is just further the conversation in some sort of capacity. And the only way that I personally know how to do that is to be an antagonist, to be devil's advocate as best I possibly can, to challenge both sides as much as possible. Because I do think that everybody's in alignment with the same goals. Whether it's active or passive, I think everybody truly does want there to be more female representation in poker. I truly do think that the vast majority of people, now don't get me wrong, there are sexists out there, there are people who are very much anti-women, but those, that collective aside, the vast majority of people want to see more representation. They want to see you know, more opportunities afforded to women collectively. They want to see the barrier of entry lowered. All of these things help grow the game, right? The issue is, and I think that the discourse on Twitter does a great job of outlining this based off of how people are choosing their sides or their camps, is that there are very, very at odds philosophies for how you achieve the same goal. And I guess to just get it out of the way,
like a civil war,
my particular stance on all of this is just like, why the fuck are we promoting Rounders Magazine? Like, somebody do their goddamn research. This is literally Mike Possel's magazine. Like, they spent 5 fucking years printing publication. I don't even know if they actually print. I think they might just be like a theory magazine. I truly don't know that they actually exist, but you know, they spent the better part of the last 5 or 6 years, you know, propping up Mike Possel and his innocence. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? And I get it. Like, I get it. Olga is a star in this industry. She's beautiful. She shot a very tasteful cover. It's totally harmless to want to shine a light on that and say, hey, this is a little strange. This isn't getting a little more attention, don't you think?
Put it like, in the Who's Cooking section.
Yeah, like, you know, she was one of the stars on GG. Now she's on this cover, or Game of Gold, and now she's on this cover. Why isn't anybody talking about it? It's like, well, because it's fucking Rounder Magazine.
What the fuck is Rounder's Life?
Yeah, like, what's a Rounder Life? and the thing is, the truth is that I think most people that pay close attention to these types of things understand that the magazine itself is a fucking joke. If you look back at the covers for the last, I don't know how long they've been doing this, it's just a litany of
what we got.
Scandally clad women, right? And honestly, like, the Olga shoot is one of the most tasteful. And that's no surprise. Like, I think people forget that she's very comfortable in this role. She's posed for Playboy. These are all active choices. She's not out there, like, you know, being exploited, at least not to the best of our knowledge. We assume that this is a choice. This is a direction and a branding decision that she's made for herself, and one that we should all support, right?
Can we back up a little bit, just sure, for the listeners that maybe aren't on Twitter and
cool,
have no idea.
God bless them.
Where this is coming from or
a
what
few
started
in the
this.
Proud.
Right.
Because we didn't really lay the groundwork of how the story got started. So Olga was on the cover of Rounders and like 2 weeks ago. Like, it happened a while ago. It wasn't like super recent. But it got brought back into the spotlight by poker.org, which we now know it was Tiffany Michelle that wrote the copy for it.
Right.
And was just like, you know, oh, hot photo. Like, can this get more attention? Because it's a cool picture.
The exact tweet was, we kind of feel like this Rounder Life Mag cover of Olga has not gotten enough attention. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. From the poker world. Like, what? Hi, here, take my money. You know, innocent enough. Has maybe some undertones of Olga behind it, but like, you know, it was written by Tiffany. We know it was written by Tiffany. And I think she's very much of the mind that this is the path for empowering women to do as they please. And I don't really see what's wrong with that stance, particularly. But from there, it absolutely caught a lot of attention. So from there, it was quote tweeted a bunch. The most notable, I think, was probably Katie Stone and Vanessa Cade. So Katie's tweet, let me see. Sorry, I have so many assets. Katie's tweet was lost in the epiphany.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I screenshot. I might not have ever sent it to Guapo, though. But I could just read it.
Tin Runner Show, I believe.
Okay, good. Good, because I can't find it. I thought Vanessa quote tweeted her, but I guess not.
I can read, proceeds to stay silent.
Look, I have so many tabs up. I don't know how I lost this one. But anyway, I think the long and short of her tweet. Oh, here it is. She said, I'll preface this by giving Rounder Life the benefit of the doubt, which by all accounts, mistake. You shouldn't. If you go back and look at their covers, they don't deserve any benefit of the doubt. This is certainly a choice and a direction that
there is no benefit, there is no doubt.
But if you continue reading, she was being very tongue in cheek. She said, I'll assume that next month's cover photo of Nick Schulman is in a Speedo, which is funny. And also, by the way, just I don't want to speak for all men, but I will say that we are happy to be sexualized. Like, not saying that that makes it okay to sexualize women, but like, we're hungry for it. We don't get this sort of attention. So if maybe not so much Rounder Life, but if Card Player showed up and was like, hey, I see you've been hitting the gym, let's get a shirtless shot of you lifting weights, a lot of dudes would just be like, fuck yes. Happy to.
Yeah, because I think usually when it's a man being sexualized in this industry, at least, it's a joke. It's like,
yeah,
it's
that's
not,
probably true.
It's more like humorous.
Well,
like,
I mean, like,
you know,
I
think the equivalent for gender wise would be like a status thing. Like Nick Schulman's cigar, like his winner's photo like the equivalent of like a sexy woman photo.
Agreed. I agree with that. And it was fucking dope for what it's worth.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a super sick photo.
Now this one, on the other hand.
And yeah, there is some precedence to this. This was on ESPN magazine back in 2009.
2009 was based.
I mean, they fucked around and found out. Oh, my headphones just died. And yeah, like, you know, like if ever there was a great representation for how out of shape poker players were, that magazine cover fucking nailed it. But anyway, like I don't want to move the goalpost or change the conversation. This isn't really about tit for tat. I don't think that anything is gained by saying like men aren't perceived in the same way. It's like, well, there is a clear conversation to have between masculinity and femininity. And I think that, you know, by and large, we kind of accept that we are the less attractive species. At least personally, that's my vantage point. It's like, I think we're gross. I don't know how you ladies do it. If we all woke up tomorrow and the entire world was like, we're all lesbians now, I would be like, you know what? It took you long enough. Because I don't know what we have to offer anymore. AI's taken over all the strong things that we used to do, and like, we're very unattractive as a gender. You know, it's like, if you're not with if you're not looking down the road of Hollywood actors, like, it's slim pickings. So if you girls all decided that one day we're no longer necessary, I get it. A matter of fact, I support it.
That's how I know being straight is not a choice.
Yes. Great call. Great call. So continuing on with Katie's.
I see those Instagram memes all the time where it's like, why am I attracted to men? Yeah. How did this happen?
Yeah.
It's very true. You know, we don't offer what we used to biologically offer. That's for sure.
Wasn't Patrick Antonius a model?
I think he was a tennis player.
Yeah, but he was a model.
I don't know
too.
If he was actually a model.
Now, if we all look like Patrick Antonius, enough, then it would be a different story.
And he gets objectified, I mean, by the ladies in the inner circles. Yeah.
I think it's time to bring it to the outer circles.
Get the
Nikki.
Group chats. Yeah, get the group chats leaked.
Not to out.
Today we're going to leak group chats. Oh, who's hot today?
I'm not saying I'd eat sushi off of him, but yum, yum.
Hi, bro.
So continue with Katie.
Grandpa, chill.
Grandpa, chill.
That was so weird.
We're the same age.
Grandpa is chill.
Not on the outside.
Shut your mouth.
Continuing with Katie's tweet, she said, much of the harassment that women face in poker is rooted in disrespect, which I agree with that statement. The image below reaffirms the notion that for many men, that women in poker are of value only for their looks, which inherently diminishes and focuses on their skill. Which inherently diminishes the focus on their skill, which often results in being disrespectful. It's a sad cycle. I think this point is very valid, but I think it's only a partial part of the story, right? Like, yes, there's a lack of representation of women in poker. Yes, women who are less willing to sexualize themselves or be seen as a sexual status symbol in some regard are probably going to get propped up a lot less. And that is, in fact, a problem. However, looking back on the specifically pre-Black Friday, when women, well, first of all, there were more magazines back then. There was Bluff, Card Player, Annie Up came later, I think. And there were a slew of other small ones. I think like Poker Listings may have used to have a magazine. I don't recall, but there were a bunch of them. There were a lot of women who were on the covers of these magazines. And you wouldn't look back on those covers and say, like, those women don't have poker chops. They were all very much, like, top of the industry, including this ESPN Body magazine, which featured
Jennifer Harmon,
who for the longest time has been one of the leading women in this space when it comes to playing high stakes. Schwann, she's been on covers. Vanessa Selps has been on many, many, many covers. Maria Konnikova, when she had her breakout year in 2019, I believe, made the covers. So it hasn't always been this. Maybe it has been some sort of disconnect. I'm not sure, because the big difference that I see is once Black Friday hit, these covers no longer became important because online was no longer funneling money into these magazines. Like, if you look at Card Player's last 10 years, The Venetian has had a cover every single year. I don't think that's an accident. Mm-hmm. I think that the Card Player Tour works hand in hand with Venetian Poker Room, and that's probably part of their deal, right? So I'm a little confused at why we're just jumping to the conclusion that because a woman takes pride in her appearance and chooses to do a cover in this vein, that it suddenly diminishes all of the active work that women have been doing in this space for the better part of a decade. I don't really have a question there. It's just kind of my take.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot to say on this, but I don't want to cut anything off.
Oh, please.
Do you want to be rescued?
I would love to be. I'm on an island here.
Save the damsel.
So, I mean, as a woman, that speaks for all women because we're a monolith and everyone agrees with me. No, it's exactly what I don't like about talking about women's issues is that there's so many. It's very nuanced. We're not just like one body that, right, you know, that thinks the same. And I think that all of the opinions that have come out on this have been extremely valid. Like, you have the debate that's as old as time, which is like, is dressing in a certain way objectifying or empowering? And you have the two camps that argue very good, valid points on both sides. And so I think it comes down to the individual. And I think that a couple different voices spoke on this in the space. Maria Ho talked about this in her tweet. I think Juan talked about this too, where it comes down to like the intent and the context behind the individual in the photo. Did they choose to do it, or were they coerced into doing it? Were they being manipulated and taken advantage of to do it, or was it something that made them feel very confident and empowered? And that's something that we can only speculate on until Olga says something in public. And, you know, privately, I've heard it was a willing thing, but we don't know. And I think that's always the thing. And this happened a lot in comedy too. I think there's a lot of parallels with women in comedy and women in poker. because when I was doing stand-up, there were very few women. And now I like that there's a lot more younger women doing it. But when I was in there, I was definitely the youngest and definitely like one of very few women. And it's like, you don't want to be objectified. I would always go up on stage in like hoodies and stuff. And I just did not want to be seen as sexy. And I remember when this magazine cover of Sarah Silverman came out, I think it was like 2007 or 2008, but she was really big at the time as a comedian. And her show was her being a tomboy. Like, she was very like baseball, you know, immature, kid-like, playful, not sexy. And then she goes and does a sexy shoot. And I think it was great. Like, it, for me, it made me feel like I could embrace both sides, because it's kind of shunned. It's either like you can only be funny or you can be sexy. In poker, you can only be skilled at poker or you can be sexy. It's like, why is it too, like, why do you have to pick? We have a duality in us. And I think that being able to embrace both sides is really great. I think that I would feel objectified if that's how I came into a space. If I wasn't known as something first, I personally would feel objectified. But there are many women who don't. Many women feel empowered just fine being models, being like having their looks be their brand. In this case, I understand what the poker industry is talking about, that like they don't want to be reduced to their looks. And I especially hate it when it's not your choice to be compared to other women in the space. That's where I get really annoyed, is where it's like, maybe I took a fun flirty photo and some other girl did, and now some third party is like, who do you think's hotter? And there's a poll. I fucking hate that. I think that is super diminishing. But when it's like, let's say I was being celebrated for an accomplishment I did, and I just chose to take a, you know, a sexy, like, I was feeling badass and I was taking a sexy photo for the cover. I think that as a choice is empowering. And then, you know, personally, I did that. I did a shoot with Playboy, but it was non-nude, and every part of it was in my control. And it was after I was already known as something else. So they were highlighting YouTubers, female comedian YouTubers, and it was in a online Playboy stuff, and the shoot was sexy, but it wasn't like off brand. My audience very much knew me as a cat lady, so I incorporated Breakfast at Tiffany's with my cat in there. They knew me as a Green Bay fan, so I had a picture of me in green and yellow. I couldn't use NFL gear because that would get whatever, copyrighted. But I did a lot of photos that were sexy, but they were on brand. And I think that for me, that was empowering. And I think that if someone would have come at me and been like, you're setting women back for doing this Playboy shoot, like, no, I'm not. Because it was already in my control. And it wasn't about me being sexy in the thing. It's about if the content was degrading. Like, let's say, and I can't read the Rounders article because it's like Jennifer Newell says, it's behind a paywall. So I don't know if it was degrading at all. But if the actual content was degrading, then I think everyone should be up in arms about it. But if it's like, you know, they're celebrating, like, hey, Olga, we're celebrating you. We want you to be on the cover. What's a good photo for it? And she's like, I like these. Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, that's totally her choice, and I think to take that choice away is disempowering, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot to unpack there.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's nuanced.
Well, I mean, as there is in this debate, and I think that's important to understand. Like, first and foremost, I think we should all just like totally disavow Rounders as a credible source, right? So it's like the second that we recognize, like, okay, the magazine is shit and doesn't really have anything to offer the space, but there is this photo, and you know, some people are going to believe that it's tasteful, that it's artful, that she looks beautiful. Other people are going to believe that there's a hidden agenda and it sets things back in a certain regard, right? That there's just an undertone of misogyny to this. And I think that that's kind of like very important to highlight, right? Is that there are these multiple camps, not just between men and women, but also between feminists themselves, right? There's the notion of like the radical feminist that is staunchly against anything that promotes the patriarchy in any capacity, right? So the idea of men ogling women in any capacity is setting the movement back, right? You just don't get anywhere that way.
And but then they do it anyway.
Right, of course. So that's the thing. Like, we have
ultimately,
to
ultimately, like, what I, like, for me, what it comes back to is, like, I agree with Juan. What Juan wrote was, like, you know, it's, and Nadia Magnus also said something of a similar vein, which was like, seems like both parties agreed on it. It was for business, you know.
Yeah, Juan said good points on both sides, but I don't think it's that serious either way. Olga looks hot, and you can't blame anybody for wanting to portray her that way. She was sharp and even killed on the show. I kind of love this side of her is being emphasized as well to show we are actually multidimensional.
Yeah.
Goes without saying that it's only cool if she wasn't pressured to do anything that wasn't in alignment with her values. And then Nadia said something to the effect of, another hot woman on a magazine cover half naked. What's new? One wants the sales, the other wants publicity. I'm sure it's a mutual agreement where everyone is happy. What's the big deal? That is the take that I think the radical feminist would take a lot of issue with, because there's a lot of undertones of misogyny there, right? It's turning women's looks into a free market where it's a fair exchange of we want to sell something using your sexuality. You want to bolster your brand using your sexuality. Let's have a handshake deal and take advantage of all these men who are drooling over this notion, right? I'm not in a position to have a conclusion here or an opinion in any regard. Cause like, again, this isn't something that like I relate to. We don't feel the same type of pressure. You kind of mentioned like the notion of like compare and contrast of like two women who post something similar, right?
Yeah.
That happens all the time to men in a very negative, look at the Becker Landon thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're the subject of a debate where their livelihood and their skill within that realm is constantly being debated, and one or the other is constantly being dragged.
Okay, but that's different to me because it's a skill.
It absolutely is different. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Right.
I'm just making I'm just trying to make the point that there's a lot of nuance.
Like, there's
here.
Never a like Landon topless with Becker topless.
Correct.
Like,
totally
and
agree.
We're
have
like,
you seen
who
the
has
fitness?
The better abs? You know, like, yeah, yeah. Like I didn't ask to be
a
in
couple
that
months again.
Debate. Like, and I think that this happens far more often. And it even came up in conversation where I checked with several different groups of men to see if it was accurate. But it came up in our group chat where it was like, there was a group of women standing next to each other, and it was like, you know, who's hotter? And it's like, does this just happen no matter what? And I asked my husband, and he's like the least, he never comments on women's looks ever. And he's like, no, that just happens. Like
100%.
Like every, mm-hmm. A group of women can't stand next to each other without a guy looking and comparing their hotness levels. And that sucks, but like, I'm glad that it's in their heads. But when it becomes public and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Now all of a sudden, I'm in a poll I don't want to be in,
right.
It's like a popularity contest / looks contest. And when you're putting me up against like a 23-year-old, and to throw that in there, it's just like, no woman wants to be part of that. And if they did, they would sign up for a beauty pageant.
Right.
They would sign up for one.
I wholeheartedly agree. That wasn't the reason why I tried to draw the comparison. I'm not saying that they're equal. I'm trying to demonstrate the nuance behind them, right? So of course that is very reductive for women, and no one deserves to be in that poll. What I'm trying to say though is that, and this isn't like being an apologist for men, I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. Reduce us. Like, we deserve, who gives a shit? Is the ultimate conclusion. It's not a problem worth solving. But we also have our own insecurities, right? Like, men will be compared at their competency levels. And it all comes down to this notion of, like, mating and who's winning this race for being the most attractive to the opposite sex. And it's like, if your competency is compared to another man's competency, and you were just wholeheartedly by the collective deemed to be less than, that's equally a poll that you don't want to sign up for, and you definitely don't want to have mm-hmm. publicized for the world to see. But again, like, it's a lesser issue because we're dominating these spaces to begin with.
Right. And that doesn't happen involuntarily so often. Like, I don't see so often, like, who's smarter, you know, Berkey or Ryan DePaulo. And like,
right.
like this happens a lot with women,
yeah.
especially when it's a male dominated thing where there's very few women. I feel like we're just, I mean, they can't help but put that as a
I think the difference marker. Is men have no shame in doing it public,
mm-hmm.
where women will like do this maybe privately with their friends, right? Because you are kind of like at the end of the day, men and women both are just kind of like weighing up of who do you find to be more attractive through these certain traits.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, I think women have a lot of couth and they just have a lot of subtlety to them where it's just like, oh, this person exudes like all of these rare qualities that I find to be attractive, and compared to this other person, it's not even close. But we never catch wind of that, and that's a great way to coexist.
Mm-hmm.
But we're Neanderthals, and you know, we're just walking around with our fucking clubs and ooga booga and all over town, and magazines like this help prop that. And I think that's Katie's ultimate point, not to speak for her, but I think her ultimate point is, as long as we prop that up, as long as we give it attention, then that does still maintain this underlying thread that's what women bring to the current space.
Yeah, and that's why I understand both sides. Like, and it's very hard to, I know towing the line is not something that anyone wants, like you opened the show with that, but I absolutely think there's validity to both sides, and I understand both sides. I think that when it's like, when it comes down to it, for me, it's got to be up to the individual. And sometimes when you know that guys are doing that anyway, like you know that that's happening anyway, you know, right. If you stand next to two other women, that's happening anyway. So sometimes it can feel empowering to take that back and be like, I'm just gonna, this is at me at my most confident. This is me at my best. And look at me on the cover of a magazine, not because I'm hot, but because I accomplished this thing in my industry, you know, and it kind of, that's where I feel like the empowering side comes through. Now, if I felt pressured to wear something scantily clad for the shoot, then no, like that does not make the person feel confident, and therefore it's taking power away from them. And so it really is nuanced and down to the individual. Now, on Vanessa Cade's post where she was saying like, how come, you know, all of these accomplished women didn't get covers, if they hadn't, I would 100% agree with her as well. Like, if we were only highlighting women's accomplishment, if they showed up in a bikini or showed up in their bra and underwear, or were emphasizing their looks, and so you have to do both in order to get a spread, then I would 100% agree with her. But as we saw, and even Kaina, she mentioned Kaina in there, and Kaina responded, like, I actually did get a spread in Card Player, and we saw, like, you know, the covers of Juan and other women in the industry over a span of many years who did get covers, and they weren't scantily clad, then it kind of goes against her point. And so that to me didn't hold water. But if that were true, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think Vanessa's post is an interesting one to me because I think unintentionally it moves the goalpost. So I think the conversation here, I want to backtrack just a bit. It comes down to effectively, like, you said this is an individual choice.
Yeah.
I personally can get behind that. Like, I think that's very true. The challenge then becomes, if it's an individual individual's choice, but there are collectives that just condemn certain actions by brands or companies or what have you, how then does the individual get to exercise their choice? So my point being is, let's say this isn't Rounder magazine. Let's say this is Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still having the same conversation?
I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know.
I do think so.
You do think so.
Yeah, because...
I'll tell you right now, if I won the WSOP main, I will do it nude with just the bracelet covering my nips. I will 100%. Like,
it's kind of based.
Because, well, I think it comes from... if you have a strong core understanding of who you are as a person,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with the aesthetic of like what you're showing. I think for me, it's fun to show off other sides of you and like be in a do a provocative thing because it's not the baseline of who you are. But if you were introduced to the world that way, it is reductive because that's all people know you for.
Right.
And so I think that anytime it's you're reduced to just that thing, that sucks. And
right.
and then there's, if you want to say that then it affects all women because now If the whole discourse is, you know, this is setting women back because this one girl got a shoot where she posed nude with the main event winner posed nude with the bracelet covering her nips. This set women back. I don't know if I can. I don't know if that group will ever not feel that way.
Agreed. There would be a lot of people in like up in arms. Could you imagine the first woman to ever win the main event, and then she's topless? Like,
right.
There would be people.
That'd be so
based.
That would be so based.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree.
So you would have to be able to hold your own if you chose to do a magazine cover that way.
But it's not just holding your own, right? Like, I think that's what the crux of this conversation is rooted in. It's this notion that everything you're saying would be empowering, so to speak, if there weren't this large glaring problem of harassment in this male-dominated space and this very high barrier of entry for women in general. And that's the part that I can't logically get over.
What do you mean the high barrier of entry?
The notion is that the reason this is so male dominated is that for a myriad of reasons, there's a high barrier of entry for women, whether it's sexism, whether it's economic, it all boils down to misogyny in some sort of capacity. And I don't necessarily hold that view. I don't necessarily oppose that view either. But the point is there are a lot of people who are advocating for women in this space that staunchly hold that point of view, that the barrier of entry is incredibly misogynistic, and empowering somebody even in an individual level to present this way is setting the entirety of the movement back. And my counter to that is, A, what if that person didn't sign up for your movement?
Right.
Like, why do they have to be emboldened to you?
It's just like politics and religion.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, some religions think that if you show your shoulders, you're committing sin. So, you know.
Like, there are a bunch of philosophies, and they're all going to contradict one another in some capacity, even if they have the ultimate same end goal.
Yeah. Ultimately, I personally believe, and like, and maybe I'll get flack for this, but I just think that... I ultimately, even though I can understand both sides, I lean a little bit more towards we shouldn't be policing women because of what will the men think.
Right.
Well, will the men react more misogynist because of this? Like, that's not my, to me, it's like, that's not the, it shouldn't be on the women.
I also think there are clear examples of this not working the way that radical feminism presents. Like, look at the Muslim culture.
Yeah.
Where they have to cover every inch
of
their body.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why do we keep policing women because of the men not being able to police their own behavior? You know, it's like, let the women do what empowers them. And if it makes men get more ugly or what, they need to police themselves.
Right. Then we'll figure out a way to
punish
their
own behavior.
Yes, totally.
It should not be on the woman.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, using that example of like the Muslim culture, it's certainly not less misogynistic.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like, anybody who believes that that culture is less misogynistic than Western culture just can't be watching the same story.
But it is the men that are in power there that are the ones setting the laws and setting the precedent for how a woman should act.
But then it's women policing it too. Like, it's there. You always have, here's the law, and then you have people that are being oppressed policing their own. You know, because you got to follow the rules because I have to follow the rules, you know?
So that's the counter, right? Like, okay, let's say that this goes the way that the narrative is kind of pushing. And it doesn't get as extreme as Muslim culture, but basically radical feminism starts to set the rules, right? And collectively women just decide to fall in line and they don't sexualize themselves anymore. And they cut back on their... on what some women would consider to be their feminine side, you know, demonstrating their beauty and all this other stuff. Does that not lead to more repression?
Right. So the classic feminist, and I, by the way, I identify as a feminist because it is about having equal rights and the power to choose.
Mm. At the core of the meaning of the word feminism, it's about... You know, equal rights.
Right.
Don't be as feminine as you were before.
Yeah.
It was always about just the freedom of choice, the same freedoms that men have to choose to open a credit card, to go to college, to get a job, to do whatever, to drive a car, whatever it is, to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that we have the same freedoms.
Right.
It's
people-
not.
Yeah. And they've taken that word and twisted it into their own meaning and what they want.
Well, there are a lot of fractions, right? We have to understand there's a difference between radical feminist, neo-feminist, traditional feminist. Like, there are a lot of fractions of these philosophies.
And for what it's worth, I think in both comedy and poker, for what it sounds like, has come a long way. Like, I don't get... And this is just, I mean, this is me in Vegas and, these, and me in LA. Like, so these are just two cities, and I'm sure there's the rest of America operates maybe differently. But like, I feel like, I've seen more and more men, you know, shutting a guy down if he's getting out of line, than I have seen just like rampant sexism at the table.
Right. But to play devil's advocate here, we can't dismiss the, experiences of others.
Yeah, of course not.
They
of course
certainly
not.
Are experiencing.
As I just said,
of,
as a side note.
Right. Yeah.
That and, I think that we are making progress, even if like when you say, oh, this will set women back 50 years. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we've made a lot of progress and I hope that it continues. And I hope that things like this don't set women back. But, I can understand being scared of that happening. Like, you did a lot of work to unfuck the situation, and then you think that this thing, you know, well, maybe that fucks it all up again, you know? And right. So I can understand.
So bringing this back then to Cade's post, I want to, I guess, like, explain myself as to why I think it's moving the goalpost quite a bit. The discussion around this isn't due to a lack of, I guess, spotlight being shined on women in particular. Like, that's maybe a secondary conversation to have, but it's the way in which she's being portrayed, right? As well as her choice to be portrayed that way. So the sides that are fractioning off here are having many different multitudes of conversations, all of which become more nuanced than the last. And if you keep your eye on the prize of, like, okay, what we're specifically talking about, is it okay for brands and companies to portray women in this industry this way? That's the first point, right? And that's where the first debate comes into play. The Tiffany Michelles of the world saying, like, not only do I think this is fine, but, like, I'm here for it. I do this type of, or I have done photo shoots like this in the past, et cetera, et cetera, all the way to the other side of, you know, a collection of others basically saying, like, this is not how we want to be represented. We want to be taken seriously as intellectuals. We want to be taken seriously as players, et cetera, et cetera. When you start to delve into Vanessa's post, it now becomes a matter of, well, there are examples of women who are accomplished in this space that are not getting the same shine as men. And to that, I think now we start to open a whole new can of worms. Number one, how serious are these media outlets to begin with that anybody would even care? Like, okay, you can't name me more than a handful of women who are on the covers in the last 10 years. Can you name me more than a handful of men? You know, probably you could throw a dart at a board and land on some, but I doubt that you know who was on the cover of Card Player in June of 2023.
Fair. Yeah.
Right? So, number one, like, how much amplification actually is this? And then number two, what's driving the narrative for these people to be on the covers? So, I agree wholeheartedly with Vanessa. If what they're using to qualify who deserves being on the cover as a noteworthy story in the industry, an individual who will bring more eyes to both the magazine and the poker space as a whole. Like, if this is how they're qualifying things, then yeah, absolutely. We're dropping the ball. There's plenty of women, and she names a lot of them. Chrissy B at the top of the list, Emma,
Cherish
is another great one. Yourself and Caitlin are also, like, hot names in the space right now. Totally agree. And they're all for totally different reasons, right? Some are very accomplished in playing. Some are delving into, they have their hands in everything. Like, you and Caitlin are playing, you're editing, you're podcasting. You know what I mean? It's like,
we're having identity crises.
Or, yeah, exactly. Throwing a midlife crisis. Like, yeah, that's obviously magazine worthy, right? So if the driving factor behind that is being overlooked, then definitely totally agree with her. That's not what I see when I see these covers. What I see when I see these covers are commercials, and it's the money that's driving it. If we go back to pre-Black Friday, when Poker Stars and Full Tilt was basically choosing who was on the cover of every single magazine because they were the biggest contributors to that magazine's ad revenue, it's women galore.
Yeah.
Specifically, it's Full Tilt and Stars Pros everywhere. Vanessa Selps had a cover every other fucking month because she was the biggest stars per round. Liv Bree had covers galore. Schwann and many others that also were getting patched up at a time where the biggest thing that separated them from their counterparts, who may have been equally skilled, was the fact that they were women and often non-white women, right? As opposed to the hundreds and yes, as opposed to the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of white dudes that could have also made the cover, right? So I don't think we can ignore that the motive behind what props up anybody in this space is ultimately going to be ad revenue. That's a totally different conversation. If you want to talk economics, if you want to talk capitalism and how there's maybe a misogynistic undertone to that, absolutely. But let's not reframe this somehow as like Olga doing herself and all the women in the space a disservice.
No.
Because like that's the thing that I just can't wrap my head around it. Of if you hold this notion that this cover would be fine if there wasn't a high barrier of entry and misogyny within the space. Well, it's like, okay, but those things are here. So what does someone like Olga, who wants to portray her brand this way, who wants to promote herself this way, what's she to do, right? If Sports Illustrated came knocking and said, like, we would love to feature you on the covers SI swimsuit edition and make it a poker theme, that's going to be 10,000 times more amplification than Rounder Life. How can we get upset by that?
I wouldn't.
Right, but like we have to understand.
So yeah, it's. I think it's a collaboration of brands, right? So if like Rounders, we already agreed we don't support it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was another debate in the section to add to the sexism debate. It was just like, you know, let's just not amplify this magazine.
Right.
But like for argument's sake, let's pretend it's not possible as a magazine, but just their brand is like seems to have like just a lot of hot women on their covers, so that's like their brand, just like Playboy, the example that I used earlier, where it's like, okay, if I'm gonna do a collaboration with Playboy, it's gonna be a collaboration of our brands. It's gonna be their brand, which is sexy women, and then my brand, which is not sexy women, it's just like silly cat lady, and I, you know, I'm a Green Bay fan or whatever. We're gonna collab, and like, what does that look like? And that's what that looks like. And so with Olga, you know, this magazine is like, look at all the sexy women that they've had on all their covers. Okay, so you know that that's their brand. And then she's like getting highlighted as a poker player. Well, now it's a collaboration of what she wants, of which her brand is, and then the Rounders brand, and that's like that's what you see on the cover, and that's typically how it works. So it, when athletes agree to be on Sports Illustrated covers, it's like, well, you know, Sports Illustrated highlights the sexiness aspect.
Yeah.
And then you're an athlete and the content is going to be about your athleticism and your skills and your achievements, but it's going to show you in like this sexy light.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of like, you know, that going into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's fun to see people who aren't normally portraying themselves as sexy, like, do a sexy thing. It's just fun to see, like what Juan was saying, again, I agree with Juan's tweet, is like this multidimensional, balanced human being that's not just like one thing. Like at the poker table, I'm always in a hoodie and a hat, like, because I feel comfortable that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a bikini at the poker table. But if it's like, oh, you're getting celebrated on Sports Illustrated, and like, you know, even what's her face was... was it Helen Mirren that did a Sports Illustrated cover? Was that with someone much older? It's just like, yeah, like I'm going to be in a bikini on Sports Illustrated because that's the brand. And they're not highlighting me in a bikini. They're highlighting whatever I accomplished to get that cover.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I just, I like the diversity in, and like being able to embrace all sides of yourself. And obviously if you're not comfortable doing that for Sports Illustrated, you wouldn't agree to do the cover.
Right. And I think that that is like why this conversation is important to have, because the fact is 97% of this community is male. So the best we can do is pick a lane and support, right? Or sit it out. But like sitting it out often just comes with no good. Like at the end of the day, we're the audience that you need to change, right? Like, so all of this messaging that's taking place, it largely needs to be directed at us, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the only way the problem goes away is if you change the audience who created the problem to begin with. And that's mostly going to be us men. So, like, you need to make it make sense, right? Like, I'm not prolific in girl math. You need to break this down for me.
Well, then that's why I was saying in the beginning, like, it's not a we're not a monolith. Like, right. there's many different voices and they all have different opinions. But, you know, when I say, like, I'd be on a cover of a magazine with just, like, you know, the main bracelet, if I won the WSOP main, it's because you can't talk shit to me.
Exactly.
You can't reduce me to just my looks because right. I just kicked your ass. I kicked like 10,000 people's asses in the main event in poker. You can't say anything. So that, to me, that's what it is like whenever it reduces you down to one thing and you can't be identified as anything else.
Yep.
Sure. I think that that's setting women back and that's kind of sexist. But if it's like you're being celebrated for one thing and you're showing off this other side, I don't really see the room to talk about it.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I was going with this is that, like, you know, as an outsider looking in, it was very easy to rally behind everybody. I think there was a collective voice when the SI cover came out last year, the SI Swimsuit Edition cover came out, and it was a plus size model who was on it. And Doug had the worst take of all time of, like, this is not what beauty looks like. This is not what a picture of health looks like. And I think everybody was pretty easily aligned to champion the response of, like, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, beauty can come in many shapes and forms. And, like, at the end of the day, just do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
We just don't care. Like, it's not my space to police you. Like, God bless. You want to get on a cover, do it. Be on a cover. But then whenever, like, something very similar happens, and the only thing that seems to have changed is the appearance of the person who's being propped up, it becomes really difficult for us sitting on the sidelines to understand how this is supposed to work, mm-hmm. right? And I do think that that's one of the unfortunate undertone conversations that's come out of this is for the women who are kind of, like, you know, staunchly digging their heels in and saying, this just isn't a good look. Like, I'm not passing judgment on her, but, like, just generally speaking, this is not a good look for our community, yada, yada, yada. I think a lot of the retort to that is, oh, be quiet, you hag. You just are jealous of the pretty girl. And that's not what I don't think anybody with a brain is trying to say that.
No.
Right? Like, we're just trying to say that
these are all logical fallacy arguments.
Yeah,
like, you can just, I wish that more people could just look at both sides and understand both sides. I think if just we had understanding, there would be a lot less conflict, but that's not where you don't find it on Twitter.
No, of course. Like, you know, we hope to bring some nuance to the conversation, of course. Otherwise, we're for sure wasting our breath. It's already, like, questionable whether or not this is worth
doing a show on.
I mean, it is in the sense that, like, I personally enjoy furthering these conversations.
Look, there's 1,000 sexism issues going on all the time, and there are many that I think are polarizing. There's ones that are very tilting at the poker table, but to me, this is not one of them, in my opinion, because...
Right. Weird hill to die on.
Yeah, it's just... It feels like... If a poker player, if a woman poker player is on the cover doing something, she's probably getting written up for her achievements in the spread. And whether she chooses to do it in a tank top or a hoodie, it doesn't change who she is or what she's accomplished.
Right.
And so when you debate about that, to me, it's kind of a surface level debate. Mm. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'm so open to being told, like, all the reasons why this would, you know, affect something negatively. But I think there are so many other issues that actually do hurt women that I would focus on. And those are, like, bigger hills to die on.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one I am more than happy to speak on just because I find so many parallels with comedy in this, and also getting into the industry. Both industries can be very predatory, especially towards women. And I experienced that with the entertainment industry. I got in very young and immediately, like, people only wanted to cast me as, like, being a hot girl in a bikini. And I said no to a lot of things unless I could be funny doing it. So like one of the first things that blew up was this one where it was called Interactive Sex on, and it was on YouTube. It's not a porn or anything. It's just, it was a comedy group, but they asked
comedy
me to do it.
Funny,
and
it's comedy.
but I had to get down to my bra, and I would only play this role if I could also be a psychopath. So it showed a range in like my demo reel. And to me, like, there's a lot of, and after that happened, it got 80 million views. And at the time, like, that'd be Justin Bieber in views. And this was like 2009.
Mm-hmm. 2009 and so, was based. Remember it, this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I blew up on that video. And after that, a lot of different, like, big companies wanted me to play roles of just hot girl, and I didn't, and I said no to a lot of them because it was reductive, it was objectifying. I didn't get to show off any other skills, like I couldn't be funny in them, so I'm just this ornament for the men to be funny in, and I did not like, I was staunchly against that. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that sketch was funny, it's not that funny, but it got to show like a range, and to me that was more important than being known as something. But a lot of people in the beginning of the entertainment industry want to be known as something, anything, and so they'll take anything. And I think that's what the other side is pushing against, the feminist, whatever you want, like we're pushing against the predatory behavior of like, you'll only be known if you're known as this objectified thing. And there were a lot of men in the industry that were like, well, just take the role because after you're known, you could be whatever you want.
Right, right.
And I hated that note. Mm-hmm. I never took it. Even when I became a full-time YouTuber, people were like, you know, if you just showed a little cleavage in your thumbnails, you'd get way more views. And I just could not get on board with it. That was how you played the game back then. But I'm happy with my choice to not use that. There were a lot of women that did it, and you know, good for them. Like I don't think that they're invalid for doing it either way. It was like, it's just a, you know, hate the player, not the game, or whatever. Or hate the, I don't know, whatever the saying
don't
is.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. But yeah, whenever it was just like, when it was predatory, when you're being coerced, when you're saying you'll never make it if you don't do this thing, that's where I think a definite line has to be drawn.
I feel pretty strongly that that's a big difference between,
like,
poker.
It's a sucking dick for buy-ins thing.
Right.
You know, it's that, you know.
Yeah. And it's like,
are you getting staked because of your skill, or are you getting staked because of something else?
Well, so I do think that there's a difference even in that comparison, though. I understand the parallel that you're drawing. Like, basically, this is a way to kind of ladder up in the space.
Yeah.
But the difference, I guess, that I see is that in the entertainment space, there's already like a carved out path for making that choice, right? Like, you will get more roles. You will become elevated as an actor. You will be more known, and through that comes return. Like, you get an ROI based mm-hmm. on this, right? The notion in poker that like women using their sexuality in order to advance, it's more than capped. It's actually just like kind of nonsensical, because yes, it will afford you some opportunity, but nothing about sucking a dick makes you good at poker, right? And sure, maybe nothing about sucking a dick makes you a good actress, but it gets you roles, which come with a paycheck.
Yeah.
Getting into a tournament that you're never going to cash?
I guess I'm talking specifically about comedy, though, because it's not that way. Like, okay, you're not going to be respected as a comedian because you rose to the top because you suck someone's dick. You know
right.
what I mean?
But does respect parallel to pay? I guess that's the big
but
comparison
that's
I'm trying
so
to make.
So, like, if you're sucking a dick for a buy-in, that's direct pay. That's direct.
Well, it's an
ROI.
Opportunity. It's similar to like getting a time slot, right?
Yeah.
Because like
exactly.
unless you're just pocketing the buy-in, then
exactly.
that's different. Now you're just
so there's
a sex
predatory
worker,
behavior
is,
where it's like you do this, and then you'll give you a slot at this venue. It's not even like pay, and then hopefully you make it. you know?
Okay, yeah. So that comparison, right. That similarity, I absolutely see.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking like more of Hollywood where it's just like...
Yeah, so the actor, like the Harvey Weinstein right. thing, that's, yeah, that's definitely different.
Right, because like, you know, there's a level of elevation there that it's just like, okay, well with that
transactional.
Comes, yeah, it's very transactional. With that just comes like absolute payment. And I don't think any of us are in any position to like make sort of value judgments based off of if women want to negotiate in that sort of transactional way. What in my 20 years in poker, like I know that the misogynistic jokes are out there that this is always happening. And every time a new fresh faced woman comes onto the scene, it's like, oh, well she's only known because she's leading with sexuality. The truth of the matter is like, I can't name you one instance of somebody who made it that way.
Yeah.
And I actually probably couldn't even name you one instance of somebody that I suppose was even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's just always some low-hanging fruit by idiots
exactly.
that's kind of being promoted. But even if that path were available, I guess what I'm saying about poker is that it's such a crippling industry where it's so fucking hard to win that it's almost a negative transaction for the girl to begin with.
Yeah.
Because like, sure, you get some opportunities, but there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
You just fail a bunch and then realize like, well, fuck me. I'm right where I started. And, you know, I did a bunch of things that I'm not happy
to Cameo.
To yeah. Yeah. but yeah,
I get what you're saying.
I get wanting to change the narrative and wanting to change the outside looking in point of view. But I worry that like we're trying to solve problems that don't necessarily exist.
Right. That's what I say. Like on, so there's a lot of topics that I won't choose to talk on publicly, because they're just so, they're so heavy. But this one I feel like is a little bit like we could healthily debate on this. Like this is like a more surface thing, and I think it's more about a branding thing than mm-hmm. it is about a setting women back thing. But but what it did was trigger that debate.
Yeah.
This debate that goes back forever.
Right. Yeah, that I agree with. And you know, you're not going to find any reasonable discourse on Twitter. I hope more like public debates come from this. I would love to see. This is another thing that I think is like largely unspoken. I would love to see this get two-sided. And I think a lot of people look to us to do exactly that. But the truth of the matter is, it's very easy to find the voices in this space that are very much opposed to this magazine cover and what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking hard to get people who are public about the fact that they support someone like Olga in this position, right? From my perspective, the women that I know in this space, and the women that I've spoken to in this space, it's a large silent majority.
Yeah.
That is in support.
Exactly.
But they're not going to come out because then they get branded as anti-feminist.
Right. And that's been very hard for any industry where there's just a small amount of women, because, you know, and even biologically, like, you know, you go back to survival, it's like women run in packs. They go in groups to the bathroom. You know, they're survival largely depended on relying on each other as a community, and you get shunned from the community, you might not survive.
Right.
You know, you get got, you know, people brand you as a bad apple, like you're kicked out of the group. And I think that that has carried on generationally. Even though it's not for survival anymore, it's like survival in a society. You don't want to get kicked out of the group. And especially when you like everyone in the group, and like you may disagree, and the, like, even though you disagree with them, you would never kick them out of the group. They might kick you out of the group. And
right.
So, you know, I just try to understand everyone's perspective on everything. And it's just very hard to take a public stance, because then it's like you, whatever you say is there forever now. And that, like, you'll get branded a certain way and whatever that is. And so I think that that's why there is a silent majority on different issues, because no one wants to get, kicked out of the group or branded a certain way. Like I think for the most part, those people are just misunderstood, the silent majority. I think that they like are largely supportive of, like, they're very supportive of women, and they don't want to be seen as unsupportive of women
right.
for disagreeing with someone in the space.
Yeah, I think the undertone is largely they're of a live and let live type of
yeah.
of mindset. And the second that that notion gets challenged, it's really hard to debate about against somebody who's kind of like saying the opposite.
Yeah, see, what I find hard about both these industries, what the male dominated, is that I see myself as an individual. So when I'm at a table, I don't even think of myself as like, it's not, I don't like, really think about it. You know, I'm just, and some people do, like it's an isolation thing where it's the, in their own heads, they feel alienated. And so I'm not going to invalidate that. That's true. If you sit at a table and you're the only woman at a table of eight, like maybe like some people are very hyper aware of that. And for me, I'm very comfortable like just being in a group as an individual. And what's hard is that because we're a minority, I feel like I have to represent my gender sometimes. And it's not fair because I might have a different opinion from someone else in my gender. And I felt that way with comedy too, where it was like, if I was the only girl in the lineup, if I bomb, it's all females are unfunny.
Right.
If a guy next to me bombs, it's just him that's not funny. Like, it's not like all men are unfunny because there's so few of us. So when one stumbles, it represents the whole instead of it just being the individual. And that's what's so frustrating about these gender issues.
Yeah, and it doesn't just begin and end at gender, although that seems to be where the overarching discussion comes from. Like, I'm kind of curious. This is actually something we don't really talk about, but I'd be curious to hear Conrad's take. Because like
he just woke up.
Not about the gender issue. Right, nobody wants to hear that.
How do you feel about being on Rounders magazine cover?
No.
How was they paying?
But more specifically, like there is a
trying to get rich.
There's probably I'm not certain of the numbers, but I would guess there's less representation from African Americans in poker than there is of women. Which,
dude, especially on the cruise, I was shocked. There was like half women at every table that I went to.
There were a lot of women on that cruise, for sure.
I was like very happy, thrilled.
I think a lot of the collective groups sent a lot of people as well, like either through satellites or what have you. But
it was cool to see.
Yeah, I am interested though. Like, do you ever feel like that sort of onus to represent a specific race when you're at the table because like you're so underrepresented? Like, do you ever look around and go, wow, I'm the only black guy here?
Mm-hmm.
I make that quite clear. I usually like just as in very joking ways. Like, I don't know how to like, no, I don't feel like something to represent or anything, but like I make a lot of jokes off of it basically.
Right, you acknowledge like, the obvious imbalance,
of course,
but you don't necessarily feel some sort of.
It was like four black guys on a cruise: me, Curtis Meeks, Ola Dealing, and fucking somebody else.
When you can name them all, like it's just very clear.
That's a problem.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't really get spoken about a lot because one, who's going to champion for the cause, right? Like somebody would have to step up, and I do think that just generally speaking, men. Care a lot less about this stuff because even if you are part of a minority group, you still kind of get the benefit of being a part of the majority, which is, you know, a male dominated space.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it's like a little less of a pressing issue to Conrad,
I guess,
in that regard.
Like what I would ultimately like to see is it lean more towards everybody just seeing each other as individuals. Like, and I know that probably won't ever happen, but the comments that tilt me the most are usually like when someone just points it out and, or they go, you know, Chrissy B is my favorite female player.
Yeah.
Like instead, like it's a mental game, you know? So I don't know. I mean,
that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's a whole different issue.
Like there's also the aspect of like, okay, so like GPI, female player of the year.
I loved her speech about that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Right. And I don't know how that hits in the collectives.
We want representation.
Right.
And if it was just a male getting GPI player of the year every single year,
which it would be,
then it would feel very unbalanced.
Right. But we have to acknowledge, like, it just would be.
Mm-hmm.
And
when
that's
when it's 97% of the
representation.
That's what's hard.
And more specifically, it's like Chrissy has won female GPI player of the year like a dozen times, or like six of the last eight, something like that. I think Cherish snuck in there for one. And like these two, both Cherish and Chrissy, are dominating whenever you compare females versus females.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they're fighting an uphill battle. They're outnumbered 97-1 or I guess like 28-1 or something like that. So yeah, like the 100 men that are playing high rollers year in and year out are probably going to fill the top three spots of the GPI always.
Right.
So then it does become a matter of like, are we better served?
So that's why it's a tough battle, because it's like, I agree with her that it's a mental game, so we shouldn't separate the sexes, right?
Right.
But then also I think there should be a female category, because otherwise you get no representation.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it just looks optically like females just aren't succeeding at all.
Right.
And even though that's not the case. And so it's, I like, for what it is, it's good the way it is.
For what it's worth, I wholeheartedly agree with you. To play devil's advocate, couldn't you easily make an argument then saying that it's misogynistic to split the two in a mind sport?
I mean, people do that all the time with ladies events. They don't want, they're like, why should there be a ladies event?
I mean, this has to be a conversation in chess, right?
Yeah, chess is also very fascinating to me, right? It's a mind sport, but we see a clear delineation between like the highest grandmasters in male versus female. I mean, there's a whole category for it, right? Mm-hmm. It's I think the qualifications for female grandmaster is lower than for male grandmaster. And I assume this is just based sheerly off representation. It mm-hmm. has to be, right? It just has to be sheer numbers,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's a 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or 50 to 1 male to female ratio, you're just going to see more outliers in the big number category. That just has to be it, right?
Yeah.
Because nothing else makes sense. In physical sports, it always makes sense. We empirically know that through DNA and physicality, like, men are stronger. Like, that's just a thing. We all accept it. Just like women are more beautiful and you all should dismiss us as the AIs take over. Yeah. But in these mind sports, like, it clearly isn't an apples to apples comparison. But I think that's largely just due to the lack of representation.
It's just a numbers thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. There just has to be like brilliant women out there that aren't playing chess.
Absolutely.
Or aren't,
because
poker.
Honestly, why would you? Like, if you're smart enough to make it in poker, like, you would kill it at anything else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, and then there's the whole biological aspect of like, if you want to have kids and do you want to be a caretaker, or do you, and you know, should, you know, why don't the men take care of it? I don't know. The whole like thing about women and taking care of the house. There's a whole general debate about
I think when it comes to representation as a whole, like, we all want to see the number grow, but I do think we all have to just accept certain realities to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women are caregivers, so their time is a lot more limited. Women are in a position,
but the ones that want to be, you know, like, I don't know if I'll ever have kids, but like,
I'm making a general statement.
If, like, let's say I did have a kid, now my time is split, you know, I'm definitely gonna naturally want to spend more time.
Even if you don't, the harsh reality of what exists in the world is, if two people have a baby together, the woman is going to be born with more responsibility or bared with more responsibility.
Yeah, societally,
right? Like, well, not even just societally, the man can just leave. the woman just kind of doesn't have that option. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's a lot more difficult. Woman's left in the past before, but yes, I understand what you're saying. No, like,
if we're just looking at the data, is basically what I'm arriving at.
Like, if he left while she was pregnant or something?
Yeah,
I mean, there's just like grown inside her?
Yeah, there's just like a million different ways where, like, the number of single parents that are with child the majority of their time, it's largely going to be in favor of the woman, right? Yeah. So, like, we just have to accept these certain truths to be reality.
So, yeah, the numbers game aspect is always just going to be there in a male-dominated
industry.
I think
that's what bothers me so much, is that we don't refer to data enough on
these things. I agree with that. And that's why, as much as it sucks, I'm always, like, for the individual.
Right.
Because it's, like, it's non-biased. Like, so when you look at... And that's why I liked poker, too, is because the cards aren't looking at my gender. Like, it's just you know, it's non-biased. If I study just as much as the guy next to me, like, we'll see who's the better player, you know. It's not,
oh, you're a woman, queen of diamonds.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine you just, like, never get kings. Like, that's just the thing. Men never get queens, women never get kings. Like, that's just for eternity.
I gotta hit a set or I'm fucked.
Imagine. Well, I appreciate the debate. Hopefully this went over.
Yeah, hopefully we don't get canceled. If not, we tried to make it to our 500th episode.
When Nikki put this in the chat, I go, oh, you just don't want to play in the 500th episode. You could have just said that, you know. It's only a week away, you know. If you guys want to tune in, maybe, if we're still a thing. I believe next Thursday will be the 500th episode.
As a producer anytime the entire poker community is talking about something, we can't just not talk about
right.
it.
Right. Right. Well, so, the good news is everybody's aligned in their messaging.
I'll take the sword.
Right.
Landon, I'll take my 25 push-ups. That's what I'll take. You
know? Yeah, Landon.
I gave Landon 5-1 today that Melissa would not show up. So
I mean, she slept through her alarm with the lights on. It's a reasonable thing. we do have some Twitter Tuesday prompts from yesterday. We put out a prompt that said, if you could go back in time and give yourself 5 words of advice at the start of your poker journey, what would they be? Terrence Reed echoed what I said, which is buy every Bitcoin you can. Which, for what it's worth, for someone like me, that would have been very profitable.
Lucrative. Would you still be playing poker, you think?
How would I?
Hell no.
I mean, how honestly, like...
Same.
I would have already imagine
the pickleball court you'd have.
I mean, when Bitcoin, like, first became a thing, we're talking, like, 2013-ish?
Bitcoin, 2009.
Listen.
Okay.
Steve bought his in 2011.
Okay.
It started getting popular at that time.
I think like 2016 is whenever it was like reaching $100. Like whatever that space is.
Yeah.
The point is, by the time that I was wealthy in poker, Bitcoin was under $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the amount that I could have bought.
The guy bought a pizza with a Bitcoin.
Right. Precisely.
Like $5.
So the amount that I could have bought from the time that I accrued wealth in this game until now.
You fucked up.
I just don't know how I would be BlackRock.
Mine's the saddest because we had a friend that was mining it, and it was like $13 at this time.
Ooh.
This is also the time where I was dealing like pretty big games and getting shitloads of money that didn't need to go anywhere.
And on the
Bitcoin.
Dark web.
Yeah, and yeah.
You didn't buy any?
None. I mean, I did for like poker site transfer.
Yeah. Right.
Outside of that, no. So yeah, that's pretty sad.
The sign guy chimed in.
Oh, yes.
Guapo,
you wanted to tell us?
We did never see Guapo.
I decided to say, never ask for money back.
We did never see Guapo and the sign guy in the same room on the cruise.
Well, we don't no longer, we just consider them one nowadays, you know? There's no longer the need to say the sign guy and Guapo.
That's true.
It's just either the sign guy.
What's a better nickname, the sign guy or Guapo?
Oh,
I gotta tell you, I mean, I know we joke that
we're not joking
that Guapo is the sign guy, but they look nothing alike.
No.
I mean, it's a good disguise. Have you seen the latex mask?
It truly looks like it's Guapo wearing like a Biden mask.
Yeah.
Which he's been known to do from time to time.
This is true.
Someone random said, do not be results oriented. That's deep. That's very deep. If you could, I gotta tell you, they told me that at my beginning of the journey. It didn't fucking matter.
You can tell me too.
Yeah, you can tell me as much as you want. It's gonna take a lot of learning by fire in order to actually figure that one out.
You'll orient your decision on that one based off the results that you get.
Right, precisely, Landon. You get it. Boise Mike says, treat body like an athlete. I actually think that this is something that the whole poker community kind of collectively learned.
Yeah, you too can get an ad.
It was like the it was like the turn of 2010s. You know, like 2009 was the year of pizza, Doritos, and weed.
Yeah.
And then like 2013 was like the oh shit, we're 30. Moment.
Well, once you learn that your physical and mental actually affect your gameplay, like I think they realized that it was a plus EV.
It was also just a lot of the whole community coming of age, right?
Yeah.
Like all of us who started in like 2003, we were somewhere between 14 and 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like by the time you get to 2013, 10 years later, now all of a sudden we're, you know, approaching
old.
30 or crossing that barrier. And it's like, I'm out of breath walking upstairs. I can't do this anymore. Said the Joker to the thief, bankroll or girlfriend? Choose one. I can wholeheartedly agree. I made a choice very early in my career.
Still choosing that.
Still choosing that life.
So did I.
Joe Volpe.
So did I.
Well, man, I went the broken happy route. Joe Volpe says, fold, they always have it. I say call, they never have it. Hot Sauce Man says, only poker, no sports betting. That's key advice that most of us did get when we were young. Dan Moran says, it's all one big game, one long session, if you will.
Right.
And K Morgan Lena said, leave while you still can.
Yeah.
I think that's better advice now than it was when I first got in. We had a lot of free money to capture, to say the least. All right, we don't have time for In the Muck, but we will be back tomorrow with a Strat Chat episode. I believe Matt Hunt's going to be back in studio.
Maybe so. Maybe we'll do a multi-way in the muck. With Hunt.
Yeah,
while we got him here.
That seems like a good call. We'll get on that. Be sure to submit your own In the Mucks if you haven't already. Head to @onlyfriends_pod. It's our pinned tweet, or hit # Discord in the chat to your left. Also, don't forget, we do have two academies coming up in May. Cash Game is selling out quickly. The MTT still has seats available. Matt Hunt will be leading the MTT. It's a 4-day academy. You can get more information on that at solve4y.io.
Academy.solve4y.io,
or you can hit #academy in the chat. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back noon Pacific tomorrow. Thank you guys for tuning in. Let us know in the comments how you feel about one of us posing in our skivvies or perhaps a red towel for Rounder Life magazine.
Give me, 8 months?
8 months, okay. The fridge needs 8 months. We'll see you guys all tomorrow.
Peace.
I got a new friend suggestion.